Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
On today's podcast, it's a new Pop Friday as Adam, Richard and I discuss John Wick Chapter 4, The Mandalorian, Perry Mason and Ted Lasso. My name is Justin Hamilton and I love Grogu's teeth here on Big Squid. Hello and welcome to your Pop Friday episode where Adam and I will give you a quick rundown on the movies and TV shows we've been enjoying this week. Hang around at the end for what's coming up in the next week or two and some gig guide stuff for you. But let's get right into it. Let's bring in Adam right now. The good news today is, according to a time-traveling TikTok man, the Earth is going to be invaded. Today, like probably Northern Hemisphere.
What time? I've got shit on.
Well, I'm not even really sure why we're recording this podcast, to be honest.
The aliens might want it.
Right. I'm ready to put my feet up. I'm ready to fire off some real thoughts on some people that we know. Because I can't figure that this time traveler would be lying and get it wrong.
Yeah. Well, are we going to go in a big basket like in War of the Worlds? Well, is it a big basket under the...
Yeah, it's like they've gone fucking Easter egg shopping. they're taking 8,000 people.
Oh, only 8,000?
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Oh, that's just like a selection.
Yeah.
We won't even know they're gone.
Anyway, I was about to go in so many different places, but we have more important things to talk about.
I'm so sorry.
Including the absolute delight that was John Wick Chapter 4. Now, I didn't mean to see this review. It just, you know, just turned up in my feed because all my social media feeds just give me random people that I have no interest in.
I have a lot of TERFs in my feed at the moment. Ah,
so annoying, isn't it? Well, I just saw the heading of this review and this person complained that the movie was overlong and overstuffed and had too much of everything. And I felt like that was a little bit like going to see your nan on Christmas and giving her a 2-star review because she gave you too much food and too much love.
Yeah. Gary was like, no, this, he goes, I don't see why everyone thinks it's the best film ever made. I went, no one's saying that. They're just saying it's a really good John Wick film.
It's a great John Wick film. It's a great action film.
Yeah.
And continues the theory that we've been banging on about for a while, which is snark is out, sincerity is in.
Yeah.
Everything Everywhere All at Once. Yeah, I know there were things up their asses and they were sucking on hot dog fingers and all of that.
Hot dog fingers are the best.
But you know what the last 45 minutes of that film was? Just reminding you, hey, family.
Yeah,
hey,
it's really sweet. It was doing what... What Fast and the Furious says it does.
Right. Yeah.
It's all about family. No, mate, it's about cars.
Yeah. And that was really about family. Top Gun Maverick, very sincere.
Yes.
and Creed 3, which I was a fan of. Mm-hmm. Very sincere.
I love sincerity.
Sincere to such an extent that I was sitting in a silent cinema watching three characters sign language to each other.
Oh.
Because their daughter is deaf. And it's dead quiet. There's no music, and you're sitting there going, "Wow, this is sincere." Michael B. Jordan, the son I wish I'd had. John Wick 4, weirdly for a movie about guys with guns killing lots of people, very sincere
and hell bent on revenge.
A very sincere film.
Yeah.
And what did you think? You seem to be laughing at all the same points that I was laughing.
It's hilarious. Like, it is. You know what you're getting with a John Wick film. You're going to get extended action sequences that go for way longer than you expect them to.
Yes.
In amazingly photogenic places.
Like every place that they go, if someone said, you can have three images as big posters in your house, you'd be like, oh, what, only three?
Yeah. It's like there's a nightclub that rains. There's
and people who keep dancing while there's a massive fight going on.
Yeah, there's a massive fight going on. It was one of those things where, like, they suddenly were in the nightclub. I'm like, oh, that's right. There's always a nightclub in these movies.
And here it is.
But yeah, lots of neon, some lasers if you need them. There's always like some sort of gallery that gets shot to pieces.
Yes. Man. There's that kind of weird, like there's that weird mythology that is always present but doesn't make the mistake of having you have to focus on it to understand what's going on. It's just like... They put a lot of condiments in.
Yes.
And that's one of them.
Yeah. Also, the fact that the last half of the movie takes place in Paris at every single photo, background.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
That you've ever seen in a tour of Paris. It's like, Arc de Triomphe at nighttime, in the rain, in the traffic? Sure.
Yeah.
let's have a car chase around it.
Yeah.
In the wrong direction. Like the Sacré-Cœur, the Eiffel Tower. Every kind of exposition scene seems to take place at either sunrise or sunset.
Oh, yeah.
Like everything's golden hour and it's like, okay.
Yep.
I'll go with that. No one's doing anything in the full daylight or...
Yeah.
It's always at beautiful lighting time. It just looks like... It looks like what if they made a movie on Instagram, and I'm here for it.
Yes, and it's beautiful.
It's stunning.
A beautiful looking film. This is how good it is. It was only this morning that I remembered, like, one of the first scenes is out in the desert.
Yeah, like
it's
horses.
It's such a contrast.
I could open. I thought, did I come to a Tintin movie by accident?
Tintin on meth. Meth. It's interesting. I don't know if you felt this as well. I feel like the superhero genre is running out of steam. Mm-hmm. There's nothing really that insightful about saying that. But still the biggest films are superhero movies. Yeah. Top Gun. He's a superhero. His name's Maverick. He hangs out with another superhero called Iceman. You know, they're superheroes. John Wick is quite clearly a superhero.
Oh, and this world is very, it's like a comic book. In that there's like that weird mythology, like you said, the people in charge of this weird network of assassins and their weird gold coins that they use to go and stay at dodgy hotels that are full of guns and knives.
Yeah.
And they're the fabric that their suits are made out of that is hilariously bulletproof.
it's phenomenal. When for everyone listening, when Adam and his partner Gary dropped me off, I barrel rolled out of the car and held up my imaginary jacket while people shot at me. It's great, but it's part of the choreography as well.
Yeah.
Like the choreography, it's not just the fighting; it's the way guns are reloaded.
Yeah,
even that becomes a part of the dance of it all.
I also love the fact that all of the people in the movie are very polite and wait for Keanu to get around to punching them in the face.
It's all right. It's all right. They're the rules.
I'm just going to look like I'm busy here doing something. He'll get around to it. Oh, here he is. Whoa! Yeah.
Well, part of what I like about John Wick is he does feel his age.
Yeah.
It's a little bit superhero, a little bit Bruce Willis in Die Hard.
Yeah, just say, oh, I'm injured. Yeah, this hurts.
Like, I might be surviving these close range bullet shots, but I'm also taking a beating.
Yeah.
And he runs like he's taking a beating.
Oh, my God. He runs like he's taken a beating and been kicked in the nuts.
Right. I love it. I particularly enjoyed Bill Skarsgård. So I've seen him in two films recently. Mm. One is this and the other one was I finally got around to watching Barbarian.
Yes.
And both quite different roles.
Yeah.
And, but also sort of tapping into the same thing with different outcomes. So I quite enjoyed watching him. Oh, this is what I was going to say about superhero tropes. It's like, so a couple of things were going through my head was, one is Marvel and DC have missed so many opportunities their limited way of approaching things, because Keanu on a horse in the desert chasing three arseholes, that's where we could have had Batman on a horse chasing Ra's al Ghul. You know, that's how that story initially was. You know, 70s Neil Adams, hairy-chested sex god Batman.
Yeah. I mean, I did love the fact that the Matt Reeves Batman was the detective Batman, like going to crime scenes, having a look around.
Yeah.
Although it was kind of, it is kind of galling that there's 1,000 police people there and Batman's the only one that finds the thing under the carpet.
Yeah. Well, he's the world's greatest detective, it makes sense.
And but you can only be the world's greatest detective if all the other detectives are really dumb.
Well, they are. Well, they're all on the take. That's the problem.
That's also, I don't know if you've ever watched the TV show Scott and Bailey, which is Sally Wainwright, who's just recently done the amazing series with Sarah Lancashire, Happy Valley.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So, yeah, she did a show with Saran Jones, Leslie Sharp, called Scott and Bailey. It was just two women who are police detectives and just, you know, they just solve crimes. But all the men they work with are the stupidest people on the face of the earth. Like leaving their detective books in taxis. Like, just stupid. Like, you're just like, yeah, you're gilding the lily, love.
Yeah, that's funny. That is
but
very
it's the
funny.
Same in Batman. You know, if all the detectives are dumb. I do love, that there is, no law enforcement in the John Wick world.
Oh, yeah, like cops never turn up.
They never turn up.
No. Yeah, that's a really good thing. I've never actually thought about that, but
it would complicate matters. Yeah. So it's just like, oh, well, let's pretend they don't happen.
It's great. Well, the cops are off doing something else, you know, picking on minorities. You know how it works in America.
We do know. Not just America.
The other one was, that's a good point. Sorry for being racist to American cops. It's cops everywhere. The other thing was there's a kind of like a Daredevil Kingpin fight scene.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, man, you guys, this movie's done all of these things just as well. Really funny. One of the best jokes, which I will not ruin for anyone, but it was, I think, may have been your biggest laughing fit, was towards the end.
Oh, at Sacré-Cœur on the way? Yes.
And it is, it's a really good joke. Like, it's really probably there funny, and the audience erupted.
There are so many moments in this film, and I think I turned to you at one point and said it out loud. I was like, are we watching The Three Stooges with guns?
Yes.
Like, there are so many broad slapstick moments, in the action sequences that you go, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm here for the stupid slapstick.
Yeah. It's great. It's a long film, but I think it moves super quickly.
Oh, super quickly.
I would suggest snack
also,
up.
Also, nothing happens in between the action sequences, really.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
great.
The really short scenes, like, we need 4 minutes of exposition. Also, people need to breathe and shooting.
Yeah. Quickly, get Ian McShane. Get him in because he's so charismatic and he's having so much fun. Where's Lawrence Fishburne? Quickly, get the two of them in to a scene.
And then we're going to shoot some people again for another half an hour.
Great. Genuinely had such a great time, and I was exhausted at the end of the film. Like, I was properly tired.
Like, and also, like, so much inventive cinematography, like that top down, which looks like a top down shooter, which is like a video game kind of, genre. And it's just like there's a whole sequence filmed from the ceiling, and it's incredible and hilarious.
Yeah, yeah, that's with the sparkly gun.
Yeah.
It's not a sparkly gun, but when you see it, you will understand what I mean by that. And it also feels like it's potentially got some, that world's got some spin-off potential.
Oh, yeah. Which absolutely.
Which I'm up for.
Yeah.
Like, if they keep it up, you know, if they keep it mindless, they keep the mythology there but loose.
Mm-hmm.
I think you got to keep Ian McShane.
Yeah.
I feel like he's the connective tissue if you want to have a... Yeah. He's their Nick Fury, but, yeah. You know...
But it's, yeah, it's an interesting world with interesting characters in it. And I'd be happy to dip my toe back in, even if Keanu had decided, I'm tired.
Yeah. Or, you know, if they decided to do like a series, or if they decided to do a... that's the other thing. Donnie Yen, he's like a stick from Daredevil character. As well, too, you know. Yeah. So
they're borrowing a lot from comics.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And it's
but the good bits, as opposed to some of the Marvel and DC films, which only borrow the bad bits. And it's you've got the rights to all the good bits as well.
Yeah, yeah. Do
Why
the good bits.
Don't you use them?
Do them. All right, John Wick Chapter 4, well worth it. Big screen.
Oh, yeah, you have to go on the big screen.
Go to the biggest screen you can possibly see.
With the louder sound system. You need to hear every explosion and every gun pop.
Feel it in your chest and have a good time.
And don't leave clothes behind. Like I left a hat at John Wick 3 and I was devastated. I never saw it again.
Oh, man. Well, hold on to your clothes. Go and see John Wick Chapter 4.
Don't get undressed is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I feel that way about a lot of things. All right, now let's... do a quick rotation into Ted Lasso season 3. How are you feeling?
I'm feel like sometimes there's a scene and you go, this is a great scene, but it is in the middle of what is driving the story forward, and I feel like we could have lived without it. And I get that about 4 times an episode, and the episodes go for way longer than I really want them to.
So that is my... That's my main complaint, is that I'm happy to be back with these characters.
Yeah.
I want to see what's going on with them.
Yeah.
But the 2 episodes so far are too long, and they could have been like, they could have been 3 episodes, or they could have been 4 episodes, and just kind of get in, hit hard. Like you start to lose the potency of some of the jokes. I've been a bit bored, even though I'm happy to be back.
And it's like, so it's taken 90 minutes to get through the first 2 episodes, which I'm like, that, like you say, that could have been 3 episodes.
Yeah.
And I get why they're in the quandary they're in. It's like, well, how do we separate that storyline out? How do we move that scene? Like the scene with Roy Kent and Trent Crim.
Yeah.
And the newspaper article from when Roy was 17 was absolutely devastating and beautifully written and wonderfully performed.
Yep.
But it was a complete left turn from what was quite an urgent scene that was happening in the show. And it's like that's something that should have been saved for later. Like that was a speed bump.
Yes.
In the middle of the narrative thrust of the episode. Like, we're about to, you know, find out how are we going to go with the game? And it's like, let's take a pause from the football. It's like, No, not.
Let's stick with the football. And so if that had been the third episode, and then the third episode could have been mainly the football.
Yeah.
Like, there was already a good diversion when we had... the owner go up to the new recruit that they're all trying to get their hands on. That was a good diversion.
Yeah. I love Keeley. I think she's a great character. I thought her entire storyline in this episode could have been moved to a different episode and it wouldn't have killed it.
But it should have been her episode.
Yeah. Because it started out feeling like, oh, it's a Keeley episode. And then it's like, oh, no, we're going to play a football game now?
Yeah.
Like it's... Yeah. I just feel like because they don't have the... you know, the network breathing down the neck of like, it's got to be 22 minutes or it's got to be 30 minutes or whatever it is. It just feels like it's blowing out and it's, And I'm loving the storyline of why is Ted there? Does Ted want to go back home?
Yeah.
Is he missing his son? Like, I think that's really,
And
they're touching on that just enough, but everyone else's stories, I feel like they're really leaning on things.
Yes.
And it's like, but again, so many scenes that I loved, and you're like, well, then you'd have to sacrifice, you know, Jamie trying to hug Roy.
Oh, yeah, which was great.
Which is hilarious. Yeah. It was a really funny moment.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah,
and you're like, well, then what do we lose? Like, I get the quandary that they're in.
Yeah,
but I would say just be ruthless with your storytelling.
To be honest, it's like, you know, what's his name? Who headers the ball in for the winner?
Oh, Danny.
Yeah,
yeah. My face. I did it with my face.
You know, I'm scared that they're going to give Danny too much because Danny's great. Like, it's the Happy Days quandary. Yeah. Like, some of these characters are much better when they're in the background, popping in and out, adding flavor, and you don't... Like, I feel...
Don't bring up Happy Days, otherwise I'll start to go on a rant about how Jenny Piccolo was so much better before we ever met Jenny Piccolo.
Like, Jenny Piccolo was the key in understanding how great a character can be without... ever having to be seen.
Yeah, and then Jenny Piccolo was in every episode.
And then you were like, Jenny Piccolo.
She's not as outrageous as I was expecting.
Yeah, well, that's part of the problem as well, isn't it?
It's like when you meet Fran's dad in The Nanny. Like, you never met Maris in Frasier.
Right.
She was always the thinnest and most sickly person who ever lived.
Right.
And you just went, oh, wow, what a mole. I love her.
Yeah, it's great.
And you never had to see her.
Well, it's funny. So yeah, so I'm feeling like I'm enjoying Ted Lasso to a certain extent, but the episodes are too long. Yeah. And
like that whole setup with the Chelsea manager, and bringing in Zava to go, we're going to sign him, and it's just like we all knew where that was going to go.
Yeah,
and it just felt like a kind of like I would have rather just cut to the next scene.
Yeah,
of everyone in the pub being excited about it. I could have actually done without any of the pub scenes.
Yeah, that feels like it's kind of a bit like that felt like going back to a well that we've moved on from.
Yeah, like it's and I love seeing them there, and it kind of gives you the sense of how much people are behind this team. But
yeah. So Ted Lasso so far, it's fine, but it's lost a little bit of its spark for me. Yeah. How are you feeling about The Mandalorian?
Well, now that we've gotten past our hour long episode of, fake Andor.
Yeah. Mandor.
Everything that I love about The Mandalorian was in this episode.
Yeah.
Like crazy action sequences, a stupid thing that they have to do.
Yeah.
So, rescuing someone from a giant monster.
Yeah.
Like it was fun. And also that like wacky flashback where you find out that Grogu's like 20 years old. Or older.
Oh, isn't he meant to be like 50 or something?
I guess. But he's still a little kid.
Yeah. they age slowly, those little baby Yodas.
And really nice to see like the Star Wars production office giving something back to that poor guy,
yes,
who played Jar Jar Binks, that was maligned for forever,
and he gets to save Grogu.
Yeah,
and it was great.
He gets to be a Jedi, and it's fun and it's exciting.
And he was super cool.
Yeah,
you know, like hopefully they don't keep him to a one-off. Bring him back in. Look, I have to be honest. I just want it simple. I want. Djinn hanging out with Grogu. I like him. You think he's using the Force to move rocks. Turns out they're little crab things.
Yes.
Great. What a cute little bugger.
Yeah.
I don't mind that he's got a bit of PTSD.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine.
And also, like, instead of it being PTSD and it's like a really torturous scene, it's just like, no, more crazy heist business.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just more excitement. And you, also, I like, you know, the only thing that I found interesting from the very long and boring episode last week was that rock. That's yes. like, oh, yeah, that's the top of the mountain.
Yeah.
And then they went past it. It's like, oh, that's the top of the mountain. Yeah. And that was about, you know, that was fun.
That was fun. Yep, absolutely. Once again, timing.
Yeah.
Feels like it got back on track by keeping everything.
Oh, yeah, it was like under 40 minutes. Like yeah. It was 30, 33 or 34.
Yeah, something like that. And like 9 minutes of that is the credits of everyone who worked on it. So, yeah. You know, great. And I was, you know, I'm happy to see that they've gone a little bit of Game of Thrones. They've picked up three yeah. kind of dragon-like creatures.
That was hilarious. Three new foundlings. Ridiculous.
Great. So that was fun. If you go to the Mandalorian Google page, you get a little Grogu who, when you click on things, uses the Force to mess them around as
aww,
well.
So, Grogu.
You know what? I love his teeth too. I love his little teeth.
He's so cute. I just love, yeah. I only want Grogu.
Two more to just quickly touch on. Mm. You've watched the pilot to Lucky Hank?
No, I haven't watched either.
Oh, you haven't watched any of Lucky Hank? Okay, let's avoid that one.
I want to watch it.
But I will say absolutely no mention about the show. What I found interesting was I was a bit like, oh, I love Bob Odenkirk, but, you know, Better Call Saul was my favourite
yeah.
from last year.
And he's played that character for what?
So long.
Yeah.
And I was just, yeah, I was just a bit like, I haven't seen his movie, Nobody. Because I was.
Oh, it is great.
Yes. Which I've heard. I've just been still
kind
in Soul
John Wick Light.
Yeah. Well, I'm up for that. Well, I've just enjoyed him so much as Saul. I've been kind of marinating in that. And then I thought, oh, I'll give this a go. And immediately was like, oh, I'm getting a new character with all of the things I like about Bob Odenkirk.
Awesome.
Which is great. And I thought we could finish on an update of how you felt about Perry Mason.
Oh, Perry Mason's so good.
It's so good. Oh, now, God. There is a show where the lead character, who was, you know, good at his job, thank goodness he has his sidekick, Indella, who is quite clearly smarter than him and Dallas reprimands Street. Him this week because we find out he's been keeping a lot of stuff to himself.
Yeah, that was quite tragic. The fact that he's been holding that in, like I feel like this is kind of a breakthrough for him to go, yeah, I need to share this pain with you.
Yeah.
And she's like, why didn't you share it before? Like, I need to know these things. I worked on that case too.
Yeah. And it was such a beautifully acted scene. Juliet Rylance and Matthew Reese, the two of them together.
Oh.
She's never too much. She's never too little. She is pitch perfect.
She's got the Cate Blanchett's, like, you know, just can really nail a scene.
Yeah.
Never goes too far in one direction or the other. And you're like, ooh, that's some control.
Yeah. She is just great.
And also steaming in her scenes with her new friend.
Well, I feel like as a gay man, you can probably comment more on that than me as a heterosexual man who might sound like he's being a dirty perv. But since you brought it up, it was hot.
Yeah. And just like, I love that we're in the 30s and here are two professional women, you know, living lives of their own and just finding each other. And because the one thing I didn't like about her girlfriend from last season, who's only been in one scene asleep this season so far, was just that she was kind of, you know, they'd fallen into kind of heteronormative gender roles in that one was the working girl and the other one was like, I'm the stay-at-home pretty girl. Whereas this is like, no, we are two fierce employed women who have our own careers and don't need men to keep us. And now they've found each other and it's like, woo.
Yeah, it's like, Merry Christmas, Mr. Lawrence. Two other people that I want to give a shout out to in this is I'm loving Hope Davis.
Oh, she's always amazing in everything.
Right.
Like,
and she is juicy in this.
Oh, and she's always awful.
Yeah.
But
doing her exercises was so funny.
Yeah. But also I love, because she lives in that glorious mansion, I love the, you know, it feels very now, even though it's in the middle of the Depression, that she's surrounded by opulence. Like, she's totally loaded. Like, her house is glorious. Her pool is immaculate. Mm. Everything's amazing. And then in the next scene, you're in Hooverville. Like, people living rough because no one can live anywhere. Like, people living in a shanty town that's been built in a park.
Yeah.
Like, it's... I've got to say, speaking of Hooverville, the ending really knocked me for a loop.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because I was like, what? No. Yeah, oh, my God.
Yeah.
This case has just taken a turn for the worse.
Yeah, it really has. And it's exactly where you want Perry to be.
Yeah.
You want Perry to be...
Behind the eight ball.
Behind the eight ball. I love the judge.
Oh, yeah. The judge is great. Clearly biased, like, from the outset. Like,
yeah.
And trying not to be, but, like...
Is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of got a read on him that he's essentially a good guy who has just been... who's probably a product of his time.
Yeah.
But the other... I love the moments of Gretchen Mol as the ex-wife. So Catherine Waterson just popping up. It's like, oh, what's going on here? Once again, really well-written character, very funny. But Chris Chalk as Paul Drake. Oh, I love the Paul Drake storyline. I had no idea what was going on.
With the phone books in the bar?
Yeah, yeah. And it was great. I'm like, what is... Hang on. I had a moment of watching it going...
He's inventing ballistics.
It was great. And there he is firing the guns and... You know, he has his big confrontation, but he also, he's a bit shaken by it. Diarra Kilpatrick, who plays his wife. I also love the wife as well. So,
also that horrible kind of like family unit they've got with the brother who's kind of, you know, now out of work because of what Paul Drake's done.
Yeah. It's all a bit ugly.
It's very ugly. Also, just the ugliness of the Depression.
Yeah.
And it just kind of feels, you know, I feel like we are stuck in that time again. We're not as destitute at the moment. I mean, some people are. But it just feels like there is very much, some people have so much.
Yeah.
And others are barely getting by.
Yeah.
That it feels more relevant now than it did last time I watched it. And I'm like, oh, this is... kind of full on.
Yeah. And there's also that thing of the haves not really understanding where the have nots are and what they don't have and that it's not their fault that they can't get out of these situations.
Also, I went to see King Kong at the movies.
You know, the scene where he's like, hey, I'll take, you know what, I'm going to bond with my son and then I'm going to take him to see King Kong. And then the son's up all night having nightmares because back then that's like taking your kid to see John Wick. Yeah. You know, it's like, this is too much.
There was a little kid at John Wick.
There was a little kid. I could hear him all the way through. I was like, the only thing that was, I thought about making friends with him afterwards in case he grows up to think that that's a good idea on how to live in the real world. So I could be his Ian McShane. That's going to be my plan. All right, we will leave it there. Thank you for that, Adam.
One thing I've been watching, if anyone wants to keep up with me, and maybe I'll talk about it next time, Sex Education on Netflix. I've only just started. I've not watched it before.
Okay.
Gillian Anderson.
Really?
Oh, she's so good.
I do love Gillian Anderson.
Oh, it's so great. Asa Butterfield, Shuti Gatwa, Emma Mackey. Like the three of them. Another character, another actor. Like three people from this were picked up for Greta Gerwig's Barbie. It's the cast of the future. I feel like we're seeing so many people.
Right. What's that on? Show.
It's on Netflix. It's a Netflix original. Just about sexuality in high school.
Yeah, great.
And it's, the conceit is really, really cute.
Right.
So, Gillian Anderson is a sex therapist.
Great.
And her son, Otis, played by Asa Butterfield, he's becomes the school sex therapist. But he doesn't want anyone to find out. Not only is he a virgin, he can't even touch himself to masturbate. Like, he's really freaked out by the whole thing.
Great.
But he's really like clear-headed when it comes to other people's sexuality and sorting out all of their problems.
Well, that sounds about right, doesn't
it? It's hilarious.
And I, you know, like QAnon and everyone have ruined my ability to go back and watch random episodes of The X-Files. So, it's like, fuck. That was ours.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It was great. And now it makes it feel like, you know, no,
this guy's voting for Trump. Fox Mulder. God damn. Anyway.
But yeah, Gillian Anderson, amazing.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm always happy to get a little bit more Gillian Anderson in my life. So, all right. Well, maybe I'll try and at least churn out the first one before next time. All right. Thank you. Thank you once again to the fabulous Adam Richard for joining me today. The feedback on the Pop Friday episode from last week was overwhelming. Like, you were really into it and it was really positive. And I can't thank you enough for all the positive and fantastic feedback that you have sent our way. So we will do more of these. It might be one of those ones where, you know, there'll be the time when I'm down at the Melbourne Comedy Festival and I won't be able to record one then, probably. You know, maybe I will be, but, you know, there just might be times where we don't have time or there just might not be that much to talk about or whatever. But for the most part, I think this will become a semi-regular way to finish off the week. So once again, thank you for everyone who got in touch and talked about how much they loved what we were doing here. Quick reminder, I have two shows appearing at the Melbourne Comedy Festival on April 16th. We're doing a one-off Big Squid Live podcast. That's right. We're going to do the show live. It's my thrill to have a good friend that I have not seen in a long time. Celia Pakola is coming on, and my mate Josh Earl, who I worked with on his podcast at the end of last year. We're going to compete against one another to make the great Aussie movie list. So we will put in, essentially we're going to go up against one another and try and only have the movies that we want, try and get them before the other one gets them, and then the audience will get to vote on who has done the better job. Then on the 17th, my award-winning stand-up show, Little Victories, will be performed at the Melbourne Town Hall. And I'm looking forward to that. I've kind of missed the show. I had a really good time in Adelaide, and it's a bit of a break between drinks, but I'm looking forward to getting back to Melbourne. It will be my first Melbourne Comedy Festival since 2020. Oh no, since 2019 actually. So goodness, that's a long time. So if you would like to come along, that would be great. All my Big Squid listeners can save money on ticket purchases by using the promo code podcast. Podcast. That's one word, podcast. That's my gift for being a loyal listener of Big Squid. Head to justinhamilton.com.au/gigs. You can find links for the show. You can use that promo code for both shows. Patreon subscribers, remember to use your super duper discount, and that will get you even more money off than the usual Big Squid podcast one. If you're not a Patreon subscriber and would like to access bigger discounts to live events, bonus podcasts and more. Actually, this week I just put up an interview with Will Anderson from 10 years ago on my old podcast, Can You Take This Photo, Please? It is up and available and it's really fascinating. I had a really good time listening back to it, and it's also been getting some really nice replies online. So if you'd like to be able to access stuff like that and heaps more, head to patreon.com/Justin Hamilton. If money is tight and you'd like to support our work here, a top review on Apple Podcasts is a great way to show us the love. I'll be back on Monday with a brand new Chitter Chatter, followed by the Mission Impossible episode, or our series Mission Impossible, which I was going to put up this week, but the Ange Lafoppiere interview felt like it was current. We were talking about current things, so I've moved it to next week. So Mission Impossible 2, Adam and I doing a deep dive on that film, goes up next week. We might have a couple of others as well. I hope you have a wonderful weekend, and if you're one of the people who gets taken away by the aliens, don't forget to send us a postcard or an email or smoke signals. I'm dying to know how you're going. Until then.
Tired
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.